Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on overcoming sin. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is Philippians chapter 2 and reading verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 5 on Work Out Your Salvation, on page 86, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "If you use your notebook from Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, effectively, you'll be set free from sin, satanic traps, and hindrances every day. This is the very definition of working out your salvation daily. If you do not allow God to save you from the devil's traps on a regular basis, you are not obeying Philippians 2:12. Every sin the Spirit exposes is a snare that has taken you captive. To me, this was and continues to be an exciting process. I do not want any hindrance left in my life, do you? Conviction is a tremendous blessing because it provides another opportunity to repent and shut the door to the devil's accesses. When God forgave your sin, the curse was removed. However, being saved does not renew your mind. Many believers have been taught they automatically have the mind of Christ at the moment of salvation. But this is a false doctrine. This deception can be easily seen by the evidence of ungodly thoughts and actions after salvation. Your flesh does not immediately die at salvation, but must be mortified until it no longer has any influence on you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. This work can only be accomplished by staying in the Spirit and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. You have probably noticed I restate this principle often. I will keep saying it until everyone believes and obeys it. Your carnal mind will not accept that sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your own life in thought, purpose, and action. Those that can accept this definition with their whole heart will feel helpless. However, through faith in God's love and forgiveness, they establish Jesus as Lord and submit themselves to other disciples following Christ for correction. Faith without works is dead. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Verse 18. "That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Verse 19. "Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Eternal life is a gift to know God personally in trials and difficulties. John 17. And verse 3, "and solve them without man's money and wisdom." Hearing God in your business life is just one area, like hearing God in ministry, and doesn't mean you have a good grip on eternal life. Those unwilling to communicate are usually serving two masters or have something to hide. Those trusting in uncertain riches in complicated situations are not reconciled to God and His plan for their lives. They lack godly wisdom without some lessons of trusting God under pressure on the narrow way. Lay hold on eternal life, or you will not be ready to rule and reign with Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. This is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you do not like conviction and correction, your flesh is not crucified. To crucify the flesh, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. The narrow way will expose lies you have believed for the sake of your flesh, where you are often using your mind. If you make decisions again and again under a small amount of pressure, you're not walking in the Spirit. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Trying to be perfect by the flesh just because you don't like conviction and correction is foolish. Submit to God, as there is grace always to do what He says. There are no shortcuts for the educated or the rich. Thinking is dangerous. Listening to His instructions is wise. Conviction when reading His written word, led by the Spirit, will help you to hear and recognize those instructions when it's time to apply His rightly revealed word of truth. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more, because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Those that love the truth overcome sin. Those with a confidence in the flesh resurrect their flesh under a small amount of pressure and find an excuse to make decisions with their mind. According to the Amplified Bible, the church was obeying Paul's suggestions, not just his orders, on the way to completing their own salvation. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. When somebody else gets in the flesh, once or twice, do not judge or use this as an excuse to get in the flesh yourself, unless you want to be a castaway. Always compare yourself to Christ, who did nothing contrary to the truth. Someone can make a few mistakes by not denying themselves under a greater level of pressure and responsibility as they grow up spiritually. Just keep working out your own salvation. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is in Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you have forgotten and need to do urgently, because you are busy thinking when you should have been listening. Use a short checklist regularly and apologize to God if you missed doing anything He confirmed in the morning that you did not do by a certain time. Do not deceive yourself. If you are not walking in the Spirit, the flesh will never die. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God." If you could hear and obey whatever He told you to do every 4 seconds, that might work under a small amount of pressure. Walking in the Spirit, however, includes walking in the light. You need time to process the rightly revealed word of truth using a notebook in all areas to reach perfection. If you repent, the Holy Spirit can reprogram your mind in lessons you learn through conviction. Embrace the truth in any situation He uses to expose lies in your life. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5, I mean verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Verse 12. "For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Verse 13. "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14. "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." God wants you to enjoy fellowship and intimacy, but if you don't grow up spiritually, He will resist you. The milk is the sound teaching of the written word. Sound doctrine will tell you where you've crossed the line, but not tell you where, how, and why. Studying the word of truth yourself in areas of your life through conviction will set you free from lies you accepted earlier for the sake of your flesh. It will get all your senses exercised on the way to maturity. The mature know what is pleasing to God under pressure, especially when something appears good but is actually evil. Someone leaving house and home like a heroic missionary based on one verse in the Bible is dull of hearing. As a coordinator in Servants of the Lord Ministries, by grace, I always had prearranged meetings for Joseph Hitchcock with ministries and leaders from around the world that God had me contact personally on journeys where God said he was to go. Joseph was always speaking somewhere. Pastors had the opportunity to say yes or no when I contacted them. But when the door did not open, I asked the Lord if I was the problem, and I repented if necessary. You will feel uncomfortable, rejected, and misunderstood by others serving in the body of Christ, like Paul was. A servant of God is learning from his own mistakes and not blaming anyone else for being unfaithful or unfruitful. We read in John chapter 8, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives." Verse 2. "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." Verse 3. "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had sat her in the midst," verse 4, "they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Verse 5. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou?" Verse 6. "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not." Verse 7. "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. If you want to get to the root of sin, the Holy Spirit will help you. The woman caught in adultery had everything she needed to stop sinning. Those deeply sorrowful that confess their sin, humble themselves, and accepted full responsibility of their actions under the old covenant receive more grace and more truth to get to the root of sin. The religious leaders tried to use the woman caught in adultery to get Jesus to say or do something contrary to the truth. When they were convicted, they all walked away. When you start accusing your spouse, circumstances, authorities, or anything else being the problem, you are misdiagnosing your situation. You become a prisoner of the lies that you chose to believe for the sake of your flesh. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. With grace you can do anything God directs you to do. But truth, lies, will be exposed. Staying humble, you will get to the root issue efficiently by confessing your sin and asking God more questions. Remember, at salvation, you are bought at a price to serve him and others in the body of Christ. You need to be a much higher level than those you are helping. Remember, truth is a privilege. So as the pressure increases, make no excuses. Do not judge yourself, but let God judge you. He will give you eyes to see what you need to know. If you stay humble, you may need to put some new subjects in your notebook. There is a sin of commission and the sin of omission. The sin of omission is failing to do each day what God wants you to work on that will prepare you for the calling he has on your life personally. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The Jews were asleep, totally corrupt, wretched, blind, and naked, defending the traditions of men for the sake of their flesh, when Jesus came the first time. Jesus Christ hanging naked outside the city walls, crucified for doing nothing wrong, did not wake them up until Peter spoke to some devout Jews who came early on the day of Pentecost. Those in the church who resist conviction and avoid correction are letting opportunities slip for the sake of their flesh. The law was designed to cause sin to become more apparent so that the Jews could repent and learn by humbling themselves. The killing of the Messiah confirmed that the religious Jews were not studying the rightly revealed word, as they would have recognized Jesus through the scriptures, as he fulfilled many prophecies. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The word righteousness in Strong's is number 1346. It's an adverb from another word meaning to justify or make righteous or righteousness. In any area of your life, you are choosing to be ignorant where you are still sinning. The Corinthians were justifying a teaching that said the dead are not raised or come back to life by following Christ's example. Today, churches prefer to believe that Jesus used his divine nature to overcome the cross. However, the Father raised Jesus from the dead because he never sinned by acknowledging God in all his ways. Everyone who believes Jesus came in the flesh needs to ask God what he wants him or her to do in the small things and let God provide his divine solutions by grace through faith. Through your personal relationship with Jesus, you will gain the hope of the resurrection by obeying what the Spirit directs consistently. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those with the confidence in the flesh do not see an urgency to develop a spiritual education in trials and difficulties. They wake up doing something unpleasant and realize they were asleep spiritually. Like the Corinthians, they hold on to some form of doctrine contrary to the truth that makes it easier for their flesh. Those using their minds to understand the things of God are choosing to be spiritually ignorant. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 7 on true repentance, pages 101 to 102, Joseph Hedgecott writes, your carnal nature has been corrupted by sin. When you are born again, you are given a new nature and were instructed to bury the old nature. From that point on, you are commanded to yield to the Lord alone. As long as you follow the simple instructions to stay in the Spirit and acknowledge the Lord, you cannot sin. The moment you become Lord and direct your own steps, you move back into the carnal nature. Everything you do from that point on is sin. Every step you direct as Lord is sin, whether it's a good thing or an evil thing. You need to repent of whatever sin is manifesting in your life. But the most important thing you need to repent of is being your own Lord. This will move you back into the new nature where you yielded to Jesus. In the old nature, you are Lord. Everything you do is sin. In the new nature, Jesus is Lord, and everything you do is righteous. You are the one who makes the decision. You and only you will answer to God for your choice. Be wise and make the right choice. Those in the flesh are living in a condemned building. You are given grace to learn how to do his perfect will consistently by trusting God with all your heart, so you can abide in the Spirit. The Christian life is not complicated. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you only have to become like a little child. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Make sure you do not listen to your flesh, and you will get all the help you need through hearing and obeying the Spirit. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The word concision in Strong's is number 2699. It comes from a compound of some other words meaning to cut, a cutting down, or cutting off, that is mutilation, ironically, or concision. In the Living Bible, Philippians 3 and verse 1 says, whatever happens, dear friends, be glad in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you this, and it's good for you to hear it again and again. Your ability to rejoice in a trial is a healthy indication you have made the right choice and are in the process of overcoming sin up to a level of pressure. If this is so, there are three things for you to be aware of. Number one, dogs are carnal believers who love and make lies. Revelation 22 and verse 13. They bark loudly when you mention conditions to the promises of God. They may fetch and carry and do the work of the ministry, but they do not like conviction and correction. Two, evildoers in the church are those that tell you God has given you a brain and expect you to use it to make day-to-day decisions. It is evil to be Lord of your own life. Those who believe it is enough to hear God in ministry serve demonic forces and keep the church lukewarm. Those trying to make evil look good in everyone else's eyes through vain ministry works need to repent deeply. Number three, the concision are those in the church mutilating, watering down the truth, or changing what Jesus taught so they can still do what they want when they want. They may have an outward form of righteousness based on earthly wisdom to deceive themselves and others. Do not judge, but all these groups have a confidence in the flesh, are in the church today, following ways that seem right. David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 37, verses 1 to 9. This is in the Psalms, chapter 37, I'm reading verse 1. A psalm of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Those working on their own personal dreams and desires today are blind to the rampant outgrowth of wickedness in this world today. Commit your ways to the Lord. You will not perceive, attain, or comprehend those things of eternal value by holding on to anything in this world. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehended in Strong's is number 2638. It comes from two other words which means to take eagerly. That is to seize, possess, literally or figuratively, apprehend, attain, come upon, comprehend, find, obtain, perceive or take over. You can experience the power of his resurrection with him directing your paths. Christ sees you from this world to be his bride without spot and blemish. Holding on to anything else will contaminate your righteousness by faith. Do not skip the harder subjects at the beginning for the sake of your flesh, or you will have to do them at the end. Processing conviction through repentance, you will always experience his goodness. If you have a taste for truth, you will love trials and difficulties, as they are an opportunity to test your spiritual foundation. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In the process of overcoming sin, you will go through some chastening until your faith is released into the rightly revealed word of truth. Study the word of truth, identified through conviction, or you will believe lies for the sake of your flesh again. Through chastening, you will gain the peaceable fruit of righteousness. If you want to be found in Christ when he appears for his bride, seek trials and difficulties. God can create an equally difficult situation to repeat itself, to prove that the truth you believe after a period of deep repentance is not just head knowledge. James said in James chapter 1, verses 12, I'm reading to verse 17. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The new converts told the religious Jews that they had murdered the Christ, after being convicted personally themselves on the day of Pentecost. The trouble they experienced scattered in other cultures exposed lies they still believed. They were erring from the faith only because they did not repent deeply after coming to conviction through Peter in Jerusalem. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, I'm reading Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the Message Bible, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself. He had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death, at that, a crucifixion. The cross is perfection, so never take your eyes off the cross. To overcome, preparation is important. So start in the small things. Here is a helpful checklist on what Paul wrote. Number one, do not strive or seek a vain result, doing works that will exalt your own name, reputation, or importance. Number two, do everything in lowliness of mind as someone who can do nothing except hear, trust, and obey with God's grace. Number three, put aside any privileges of rank in church or home and just serve to the point it makes your flesh uncomfortable. Number four, look out for the needs of those under your care as you do not need any personal time unless God says. Number five, believe in your heart that you were given equal status to God, like Christ, so you can do his perfect will and finish the works of the Father, led and controlled by the Spirit. Through conviction, God made it very simple, so you only have to choose the Spirit-led life. You should be convinced the flesh is not an option, unless you had a mild conversion. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Only faith, hope, and love will remain in eternity. We don't need anything else to live the sinless life, according to Paul. God will be telling us what we need to know, as he knows best. So we just need our faith purified, hope increased, and love developed. Pursue all these three and get your victory over sin in many situations before time runs out. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Verse 16. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. A spiritual life can look like driving in a traffic jam. You'll end up looking like a reprobate now and again. Go slowly when the foundations are being exposed in a trial or difficulty. And move fast when God gives you an instruction confirmed by his Spirit. Those with a confidence in the flesh crash. Those holding up other saints on the narrow way, willing to pay the price, will be put to the side or removed if they do not repent. Reasons for sin can be identified by the Spirit and removed. God is the transmitter and the Holy Spirit inside you is the receiver at the other end. Only your personal sin can cause God's perfect communication system to break down in any situation. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Through repentance, the Corinthians became strong again in the faith, after being corrected by Paul. But he told them, do no evil. Paul could see that they did not have the foundation yet to handle what was coming next. You will be overcome if you are taking up your cross weekly or monthly, or only in the crisis. Paul continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I mean verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection, to become your Lord and Savior. Jesus had to give up everything and come to earth in human form. He had to be rejected by his own people, endure the cross and die in your place publicly as a criminal in front of the religious Jews and Pontius Pilate. The Lord of Lords was led like a lamb to the slaughter. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, the Father raised him from the dead to prove that he was not a reprobate. Paul had to stay weak and do nothing contrary to the truth in complicated situations by asking God everything, and you can do the same. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, have you failed to overcome sin just because you never set up a notebook like Joseph Hedgecock taught in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, for the sake of your flesh? If not, why not? Number two, did you understand that Jesus' death was necessary to give you the option to decide between a life controlled by the flesh and a life controlled by the Spirit, and that you need to choose wisely? If not, why not? Number three, are you willing to look like a reprobate to overcome sin, complete your training, and finish your calling? If not, why not? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking about overcoming sin. Sin can be at the seed level, it can be at the fruit level. If you're working on your relationship with God, and you are working out your salvation in fear and trembling, sin does not need to manifest ever again at the fruit level. You will deal with sin early so that you can live the sinless life. I pray that as you listen to this message, God has shown you many things that you have not been faithfully doing. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.